Hello and welcome to episode 31 of BuzzHub's Front Seat Cinema, your weekly update on the latest film reviews, the film news, the box office results, all that stuff that you have to have in your week or else you would, get very, very stressful. I'm going to begin this week's episode with the box office results for last weekend, the 4th of July weekend. Michael Bay's global blockbuster Transformers Age of Extinction, starring Mark Wahlberg, Jack Rayner, and Nicola Peltz, retained first place for a second weekend in a row, but took a massive 64% plunge from its $100 million opening to bring in $36.4 million in its second weekend. It has grossed $174.7 million domestically, which is less than the $228.8 million made by the previous installment, Dark of the Moon, in the same period of time. And Dark of the Moon is, at the moment, I believe, either the fourth or fifth highest-grossing film of all time. I think it's the fourth. Bay's movie did huge business in China for a second weekend in a row, taking in $51 million, a much smaller 43% drop-off from its record-setting opening weekend, and more than half the weekend's overseas take. China's gross on its own is $212 million, more than half the overseas gross of $400 million, which brings its global total to $577.7 million after less than 2 weeks. IMAX screens brought in $13.1 million worldwide this weekend, $5.7 million from China alone, as its $53 million worldwide IMAX total makes it the fastest IMAX movie to cross the $50 million mark ahead of 2012's The Dark Knight Rises. Now, since this article was written that I'm reading, Transformers Age of Extinction actually became the highest grossing film of all time in China. It beat Avatar, and it beat Lost in Thailand. I have it for you here. It became, the highest grossing film of all time in China. Now, I have in the past seen the list of the highest grossing films worldwide in China, and I shall read them to you now. It's quite an interesting list. Sorry for the typing noises. Sorry. Here we go. These are the list of the highest grossing films of all time in China. So number one is Transformers Age of Extinction. Number two is Avatar, which is the worldwide all-time number one. Number three is Lost in Thailand, a domestic Chinese comedy. I've actually seen Lost in Thailand. I've made an effort to watch it because of its popularity in China. Basically, it's the highest grossing Chinese film ever in China. And it cost $2.2 million to make, and it made back $208 million in China, which is huge there. So that is insanely profitable. That is just such a profitable profitable film. And Lost in Thailand, I can sincerely say, is one of the worst films I've ever seen. I mean, it's basically a Chinese version of The Hangover. It has, three main characters. They're all, stereotypes, and they go to Thailand, they get involved with, transvestites and drug dealing and the same kind of thing that you'd find in The Hangover Part 2, which is also set in Thailand. It's very like The Hangover Part 2. I mean, it is one of the worst films I've ever seen, but, the Chinese like it. The Chinese also like Transformers, which is number one film all time in China, and I will get to in a moment my review. So number four is Journey to the West, Conquering the Demons. Number five is Transformers Dark of the Moon, no surprise there. Number six is The Monkey King. Now, some of these films, like The Monkey King, sound ridiculous and hilarious, but if you look them up, they're actually just slightly more feasible than they may sound. Not that much, but The Monkey King isn't as ridiculous as it sounds. It's actually, let me check. Yeah, it's a martial arts film. Most of these are. Number seven is Titanic. Number eight is CZ-12. CZ-12 is the Chinese name for the Jackie Chan film Chinese Zodiac, which was actually released in the US. Number 9 is Iron Man 3. Number 10 is Painted Skin, The Resurrection. Now that sounds like a pretty ridiculous film. It's actually another martial arts film, although it is fantastical, I think. And I think it actually has some interesting characters. No, I'm getting confused with another film. Number 11, X-Men Days of Future Past. Number 12, Captain America the Winter Soldier. So as you can see, when three of the 12 biggest films of the year are from this year, our biggest films of all time are from this year, that says a lot about how the Chinese market for American films has just grown massively this year. Number 13 is So Young. So Young. And So Young, if that was an American film, that would be some drama about a dying teenager. Instead, it's a... God, who knows what it is? Maybe that is what it is. The poster has a lot of people flying around. It looks completely insane. Number 14 is Personal Tailor. Number 15 is Where Are We Going, Dad? A film version of the popular Chinese television series Where Are We Going, Dad? Number 16 is Pacific Rim. Number 17 is Let the Bullets Fly. 18 is Aftershock. 19 is Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. 20 is Kung Fu Panda 2. 21 is Young Detective D, Rise of the Sea Dragon. 22 is The Flowers of War. 23 is The Amazing Spider-Man 2. 24 is The Avengers. 25 is Life of Pi. 26 is Flying Swords of Dragon Gate. 27 is American Dreams in China. 28, Police Story 2013. 29 is From Vegas to Macau. 30, very, very surprisingly, is Men in Black 3. Then we have Finding Mr. Right, Tiny Times. If You Are the One, 2. That's actually a pretty ironic name for a film. If You Are the One, O-N-E, 2. If You Are the One, 2. The sequel to If You Are the One, I assume. 34 is Godzilla, the 2014 film. 35 is The Breakup Guru, which is also from 2014. Then we've got Pirates of the Caribbean 4, Inception, 2012, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, and Ice Age Continental Drift. So I'd say that's about 50% American films. So that's the Chinese box office in a nutshell. That is their highest grossing films of all time. Back to this weekend's American box office. The top new movie of the weekend was the Melissa McCarthy comedy vehicle Tammy, Warner Brothers, co-written and directed by her husband Ben Falcone and co-starring Susan Sarandon. It opened on Tuesday night to bring in $6.2 million its opening day, including those previews, took in another $5.5 million on Thursday and then $21.1 million over the three-day holiday weekend to take second place. The $32.9 million it has grossed in its first 5 days isn't bad for a comedy that's reported to have cost just $20 million. It was a tight race for third place between two Sony releases, but their estimates give a slight advantage to the Scott Derrickson horror thriller Deliver Us From Evil, starring Eric Bana, Joel McHale, and Olivia Munn, with a three-day gross of $9.5 million. Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill's hit comedy sequel 22 Jump Street, also by Sony, is selling for fourth place with $9.4 million over the weekend and $158.8 million gross domestically total in 4 weeks. Following that, in fifth place was How to Train Your Dragon 2. Then we had a new film called Earth to Echo. And then we had Maleficent. Frozen had an unprecedented 16-week run in first place in Japan. For 16 weeks, Frozen was the number one movie. And what was it that knocked it off the top spot this week? Well, it was another Disney fairy tale film. It was Maleficent. So that's interesting. Then 8th place went to Jersey Boys, 9th place went to Think Like a Man 2, and 10th place went to Edge of Tomorrow. And the documentary America, Imagine a World Without Her, didn't fare very well. It opened with over $4 million in select cities. So, and speaking of Frozen, the director of Frozen, Jennifer Lee, is attending the Galway Film Fla in my hometown this week, and I may go along and meet her. I can't say I'm a huge fan of Frozen, but she is the... Frozen, let's say, is the highest grossing film of all time directed by a female director. She's the co-director, and she is at the festival, and I have an opportunity to go along and see her and meet her, and I may do that. Earlier this week, I got to go to the Irish premiere of John Carney's new film Begin Again, starring Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley. And I've reviewed it on BuzzHub. I gave it 3 stars. Very enjoyable film. It's Mark Ruffalo, Keira Knightley. Keira Knightley sings some nice, cheerful songs. It's also got Adam Levine, Hayley Steinfeld. A lot of decent actors in it. It's very enjoyable to watch. There's some nice songs. There's some nice New York set pieces. Ruffalo and Knightley are both very good. It's not groundbreaking. It's certainly not as good as Carney's Oscar-winning previous musically-themed film, Once, which was excellent. It's not as good as that at all, but it's enjoyable. I gave it 3 stars, and if you can catch it, you could do worse, let's say. Another smallish film I saw this week was They Came Together, which is a small comedy directed by David Wayne, starring Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, Kobe Smulders, Ed Helms, Jack McBrayer. Loads of TV actors are in it. I really liked it. It's basically a spoof of romantic comedies, of the cliches of romantic comedies, but not the really you know, these kind of scary movie, epic movie, disaster movie, those really awful spoof films which just take the most obvious kind of things about genres and stick them in your face and make them all vile and disgusting, and I hate those films. But They Came Together actually does it in a reasonably clever way. It kind of follows the tone of, you know, the Airplane films or Naked Gun, and but it manages to find some actual pretty clever things that you would traditionally see in romantic comedies, but that you might not automatically associate with the genre. For example, at one point, Paul Rudd goes and meets Amy Poehler's young son, and he magically produces a burger from behind his ear, and the son goes, "I want you to be my new dad." But it's the kind of thing you do see a lot in films, but you wouldn't typically realize that you do see so often. They Came Together, very, very small release, but if you can catch it, it's only about 75 minutes long. It's certainly not a masterpiece or a classic, but as I said about Begin Again, you really could do worse. And you know how you could do worse? Transformers Age of Extinction. I'm not going to call Transformers Age of Extinction a terrible film, because that would be, because that title has to be reserved for films like Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, which is one of the worst American films I have ever seen. Is it worse than Lost in Thailand? Well, they're not really. You can't compare them. Lost in Thailand is just so unbelievably awful. But no, Revenge of the Fallen is pretty much worse than Lost in Thailand. Age of Extinction is by no means as bad as Revenge of the Fallen. Firstly, it doesn't have Shia LaBeouf, it doesn't have Megan Fox, and it doesn't have Rosie Huntington-Whiteley. They are three of the worst actors of the century. None of them are in this film. That automatically makes this better than the previous films. But not that much better, because the cast in this film is pretty awful as well. Mark Wahlberg and Jack Rayner, both of whom have previously proven themselves to be competent actors, can be forgiven for their awful work here. As Bay was clearly too busy giving directions to the Autobot actors to deal with them, and to give Rayner a script. Jack Rayner, what was wrong with him in this film? He was asleep the entire time. He's another person who was attending the Galway Film Fair this week, and who I may have the chance to meet. Jack Rayner sleeps his way through this film. Wahlberg at least gives it a shot, but the film is just so bad that there's not much they can. The script is so bad. Nicola Peltz is there for the most of the film as well, although she's not really trying to act. She's just modeling some clothes and running around and looking hot. So what's the point in commenting on her acting at all? I also said in my review, Kelsey Grammer, Titus Welliver as the film's instantly forgettable human villains bring to the screen what the returning Peter Cullen brings to his voice performance as Optimus Prime: sheer pretentious po-facedness. Basically, I said this is a $250 million big screen adaptation of Michael Bay's personal sex fantasies, because there's three things Michael Bay loves: America, cartoon violence, and young women in tight pants, and they're all in this 3-hour extended toy commercial. Throughout my review, I did not refer to Transformers Age of Extinction as a film. I consistently referred to it as an extended toy commercial. I actually did a Command F and went through and replaced the word film with ETC every single time. Talk about commitment. Michael Bay doesn't just consider himself the new Steven Spielberg, though. No, he considers himself Michael Bay comedian. This film features a mixture of jokes about statutory rape, namely the Texan Romeo and Juliet law, which permits the male and underage couples to be excluded from the register of sex offenders, fat people falling over, extremely graphic violence, the stupidity of all women everywhere always, oh yeah, and there's a loud, shouting, angry, middle-aged African-American lady, just to give the film some racial diversity. You know, the stereotype there. Some of the Autobots are vicious stereotypes. We've got the drunken Scot. We've got the Samurai Japanese Transformer voiced by Ken Watanabe, who, as I noted, seems to be the only English-speaking Japanese actor in the United States. I mean, he's in Godzilla, he's in Inception, he's in Batman Begins. I don't think he's a very good actor. I don't know why he keeps getting roles. You know why? Because he's the only Japanese actor around, at least of a certain age. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he's certainly the only one who's getting roles in Hollywood today, and I'm sure there are much better Japanese actors around to fill these roles. I said it's clear that Michael Bay doesn't hire a cinematographer, so hence the camera is operated alternately by a rabid dog and by a young child with ADD who's just eaten lots and lots of birthday cake. This time, Bay has added the ultimate Hollywood parody joke, something I don't believe anyone has ever actually put in a film of this scale before. At one point, Mark Wahlberg's daughter gets kidnapped, and he literally goes in slow motion. He pounds his fist into the ground, and in slow motion goes, "No!" Which is the kind of thing people would put in a YouTube video making fun of the cliches of Hollywood action movies. maybe in a film along the lines of They Came Together, and they put the slow motion no, and, well, Michael Bay actually puts it in this film, and he seems to think that it's going to provoke an emotional reaction in his audience of 8-year-old boys, and, well, Michael Bay, in my opinion, needs to, he needs to grow up. He also needs to take a class in how to direct a film, because calling Michael Bay a filmmaker is like calling Kim Jong-un a democratic leader. He doesn't know one end of a film from the other, but he sure makes nice-looking commercials. It's funny how they get released in cinemas, though, and people have to pay to see them, and they make billions of dollars at the box office. How do we get here? And more importantly, how do we get out? So you can read my full review of the film on BuzzHub. I talked about all the comparisons between Transformers Age of Extinction and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And, it's quite a substantial review, and I gave Transformers Age of Extinction 2 stars. I have started to regret giving it 2 stars. I'm starting to think I probably should have given it, probably should have given it 1 star. But I don't think it deserved 1 star. I think 1 star, as I've said, should be reserved for, I think 1 star should be reserved for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. And Stanley Tucci's in this film, and you know what? Stanley Tucci isn't that bad in it. He is the film's saving grace. And he made it somewhat watchable. And yeah, Transformers Age of Extinction. It's been out for a few weeks now in the US. It's just out this week in Ireland because of the World Cup. They delayed the release. As I just said, it's Transformers 4. And, you know, as I said about, I said for Begin Again and They Came Together, I said you could do worse, and I guess this is the worst, is Transformers Age of Extinction. So don't go to see it, don't support this film, don't support Michael Bay. We don't want him making any more of his extended toy commercials. So yeah, Transformers. So before I go, I'll round up some of the most recent movie news stories. So the nominations for the 2014 Primetime Emmy Awards were released: True Detective, Breaking Bad, Fargo, Game of Thrones, all having a lot of nominations. Mission Impossible 5 casting has been going on. Alec Baldwin is rumored to be up for the role of the head of the CIA, I think. Alec Baldwin, as always, I love Alec Baldwin. Rebecca Ferguson has gotten the lead female role. She was in the BBC miniseries The White Queen. And you can read about both of those castings online. The Coen Brothers' new film, Hail Caesar, casting is going on for this film. It's got an all-star cast. As we already had George Clooney, Josh Brolin, Channing Tatum, Tilda Swinton, and Ralph Fiennes were all already in it. But today, or yesterday, it was also announced that Scarlett Johansson and Jonah Hill are both also in talks to be in the film. It's about Hollywood in the 1950s. I think it includes some stuff about the murder of George Reeves, which is a fascinating topic. And it's going to be great, I'd say. First image was released of Ian McKellen as Sherlock Holmes in Mr. Holmes, the new Bill Condon film, which I'm very much looking forward to. Comic-Con's coming soon. A lot of stuff about Comic-Con on BuzzHub. You can look that up. David Fincher's Gone Girl revealed a new trailer. Two newcomers, Crystal Clark and Pip Anderson, joined Star Wars Episode 7. Tina Fey is going to produce and star in an untitled Disney Witch project, which it has been confirmed is not a sequel to Hocus Pocus. Fast and Furious 7 is moved up a week to April 3rd, 2015. The sound editor, Paul Apted, son of Michael Apted, he worked on The Fault in Our Stars and The Wolverine. He passed away at the age of 47 of colon cancer last week. It was a very sad story. He worked on lots of films, and he had a really great career. You can go read about him on BuzzHub now. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the new J.K. Rowling film, is going to shoot at the same studio as the Harry Potter films. Disney are... and a sequel to the Amy Adams film, Enchanted, is in the works at Disney. And that's all of the film news since our last episode, all the biggest stories. So you can check out in the cinemas, you got your Transformers, you got Begin Again, you got They Came Together. None of them are really worth seeing. They Came Together, if you can find it, and Begin Again, you could do worse, as I said. Begin Again's fine. They're both, They Came Together, Begin Again are both worth seeing. Tammy, I haven't seen. So, coming out this weekend in the US is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which I'm very excited for. For some ridiculous reason, it's not out until next weekend in the UK and Ireland. Well, not ridiculous reasons, because of the World Cup final between Germany and Argentina. I don't much care for soccer, so I'm very disappointed to have Dawn of the Planet of the Apes delayed by a week because of it. But I will see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes opening day, and I'll review it, hopefully, on the next episode, if not the one after. So thank you for downloading this episode of Front Seat Cinema. I'll be back very soon. You can visit buzzhub.info. You can go to twitter.com/frontseatcinema, facebook.com/frontseatcinema, listen to my other podcast, Revolutionary, which I do every few days, talking about all sorts of stuff, including Transformers on the most recent episode, in fact. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.